five, four, three, two.
Spider-Man, Spider-Man, does whatever a spider can. Spins a web any size, catches thieves just like flies. Look out, here comes the Spider-Man. Is he strong? Listen, bud. He's got radioactive blood. Can he swing from a thread? Take a look overhead. Hey there goes the Spider-Man. In the chill of night, at the scene of a crime, like a streak of light, he arrives just in time. Spider-Man, Spider-Man, friendly neighborhood Spider-Man. Wealth and fame, he's ignored. Action is his reward to him. Life is a great big bang. Wherever there's a hang, you'll find a Spider-Man.
I liked that episode.
I did too.
But it sucked.
That's fair. That's well, welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. To episode podcast episode 202 for Matt and I.
Yes.
Don't worry, we'll stop counting them.
I was just about to ask.
I just wanted to make that comment so I could make that comment.
There you go.
Anyway, welcome back into the Radcast, everybody. A special episode. We have a returning guest that we have not had on the show for a long time.
And haven't had in person yet.
Yeah. So we'll get to him here in just a second. But thank you all for listening to last week where we talked about our sister. About various things.
About her, it was a whole smattering
of things.
Yes.
If you want to know what we mean by smattering, Google it and then listen to the episode.
Yes.
Yeah, but thank you for listening. For those who did and those who didn't, go ahead and give it a listen. Thank you again for those who listened to our 200th podcast episode where we talked about the first Sam Raimi Spider-Man, where we talked about it was so special to us.
Yeah.
And we are going to rehash things in today's episode when we talk about our first current movie on this show.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
For those of you that saw the title, we are talking Spider-Man No Way Home, the blockbuster that rounded out the Spider-Man MCU trilogy.
A couple weeks ago, we talked about the theater experience of the first Spider-Man movie. This theater experience was like, because we've seen every Spider-Man movie in theaters.
Yeah.
And so it's like literally all of it like coming together and just almost this, you grow up with these Spider-Man movies. We grew up going to the theater to watch Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Like from the age of 10 to now. So it's... I don't know, it's just a special experience.
Yeah. And it was nice because we were able to, over the course of this discussion, we'll be able to talk to our guests over how special it was for him.
Yes.
But right before we get to him, Matt, why don't you let everyone know where they can still find us?
Yes. For right now on social media, you can find us on Instagram. We are at the Radcast.
Mm-hmm.
Radcast spelled with a K. Radcast is all one word.
Mm-hmm.
We'll be on Twitter soon, I guess. I don't know. I haven't really thought about it.
Whatever.
And then on my personal Facebook, I promote episodes and stuff. But pretty soon we will have a media conglomerate of sorts.
Yeah.
Twin Freaks Media.
Exactly.
Where we're not, in addition to this, we do video versions of the podcast. Mm-hmm. Might just do some funny videos.
I don't know. We'll see.
Just whatever we can fit under that creative umbrella.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then for any podcast app, if you're listening now, you found us. But for further assistance, you can find us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, Overcast, all your major podcast apps, wherever applicable. Some of those you can rate and review. We'd really appreciate a 5-star rating, even if you're saying this sucks, 5 stars.
Yeah.
It's just to kind of help us
out. It's an algorithm thing. Everything okay? just being quiet.
He's like, you guys just keep going.
It seems like he's ready to get it on. So here it is, another Radcast rental.
Yeah,
the second in as many weeks.
Yeah,
we have
gotta catch up.
We gotta catch up. So Spider-Man No Way Home here on Radcast Rentals.
Make it a blockbuster night.
And now, our feature presentation.
So joining us, if you listened to our series of Christmas episodes back in 2020, you could hear him over the phone as we talked to him about.
Well, he was at his bookie's office.
Yeah, exactly.
Betting on Christmas.
The Christmas horse races.
It's a, $20 is Santa to come down the chimney this year. I'm not very good.
But we talked about the Christmas classic, The Grinch, with Jim Carrey. But he is back with us to not only talk about Spider-Man No Way Home, but to just talk about Spider-Man and what we have...
Spider-Man.
What we have unofficially dubbed Spider-Man Summer, just because of... We've had...
It just... It's alliteration.
It's all lined up to where we're talking about Spider-Man in the last couple weeks. But joining us once again on the podcast, Mr. David Gresham.
Hello, David.
Hello, fellas. Happy to be here.
I'm glad.
Me too. I'm glad you're here.
Episode 202. Shout out.
You did it. Fantastic.
Oh, man. But
world's best cup of coffee.
World's best cup of coffee.
Oh, man. David, thank you for joining
us once again.
We are just going to be rehashing conversations about this movie that we've already had in the past since seeing it back in December.
However, the listener has not heard these
conversations. That is why it's going to be nice for them to be here. And
he was chosen for a very specific reason.
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
With
he's
our
tall, drink of water.
Yes. Oh, for sure.
He's glad you noticed.
Finally.
Oh, man. But with these Ratcast rentals, David, what I'll do is I'll kind of like, I think you were part of the Grinch one, and I think I did the whole, you know, who's in it, when it was released, when you were on. So I'll do that here, and then I'm going to be doing a segment that we started with our Sucktastic Cinema show that we've carried over to our rentals here. It's what was on the VHS. Now, since Spider-Man No Way Home
came out
last December and does not have a VHS release, I just pulled the Spider-Man 2 VHS.
Yeah.
So I'll go through that
in
just a second. But first, Spider-Man No Way Home was released December 17th, 2021. So again, it's our most current, the most current movie we'll probably ever do. Directed by John Watts. Starring Tom Holland as Peter Parker / Spider-Man, Zendaya as MJ, Jacob Batalon as Ned, Marissa Tomei as May, Aunt May, John Favreau as Happy, Willem Dafoe as Norman, Green Goblin, Jamie Foxx as Max Dillon, Electro, Alfred Molina as Otto Octavius, Doc Ock, Reese Ifans as Kurt Connors, Lizard, Thomas Hayden Church as Flint Marko, Sandman, and Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire as multiverse Peter Parkers and Spider-Man.
Late to the spoiler alert.
Yes.
Oh, yes.
Oopsies.
Sorry. This episode's full of spoilers.
I even made a mental note today at work. I was like, I know we kind of joke whenever we talk about movies that are like 25, 30 years old. Spoiler alert. But a legitimate spoiler alert because this movie's 7 months old, 7, 8 months old. And some people still may not have seen it, even though I will defend myself here and say people have no shame on like Instagram and making memes.
It's all over the place.
Yeah, exactly. Because
I remember the day that people started posting and saying what was happening.
Yeah. Yeah. It's like, remember?
That was before you saw it, right?
Luckily, no. Oh, okay. I stayed away from everything, but I do remember it was just like a click. Like all of a sudden, they're just like, "Now we're showing pictures. Yes. Now we're
stop.
Telling."
Yeah. No, like, you can't.
Yeah, we were lucky enough to see it. Like I think the Saturday after it came out.
Yeah,
and we were able to avoid all of that. But I feel my heart goes out to the people who couldn't see it till like February, and they probably just scrolling just aimlessly through Instagram had it spoiled for them. It's just people again have no shame.
Nope.
That's irritating, but we kind of did that here now. But I would think that's probably common knowledge
pretty exposed.
For those of you who haven't watched it, there are little things in the movie that you may not know, to which I give a huge spoiler alert.
Yeah.
So
this episode's chock full of spoilers.
Yes, exactly. So also the movie has J.K. Simmons as J. Jonah Jameson.
The best.
Benedict Wong is Wong from all the Doctor Strange movies.
Benedict Cumberbatch.
Oh, I skipped Benedict Cumberbatch. I even put him on. No, I didn't. Benedict Cumberbatch as Doctor Strange.
Cumberbatch.
Cabbage Patch.
Lumberjack.
yes. Martin Starr, J.B. Smoove, and Hannibal Buress are the teacher and the teachers and the gym teacher. Funny little cameos for them, and a special appearance from Charlie Cox as Matt Murdock.
That's, I, It's so funny. Like, there's so much in this movie, so much to, like, for me at least, to get emotional about, mm-hmm. to laugh, mm-hmm. to, you know, there's so much going on in the story, and you're mm-hmm. like, how are they going to thread all this together, mm-hmm. that I completely forgot that Matt Murdock was at the beginning.
But Matt Murdock is Daredevil.
Yeah.
So, like, it's a nice, even if it's just an Easter egg,
yeah.
it's a really cool
yeah.
Easter mm-hmm. egg. Spider-Man, it's a box office of $1.9 billion, with a B,
ooh.
On a $200 million budget.
So it made a little bit of money.
So probably the most profitable movie we will also ever talk about.
Yeah.
So I would go to say it's probably it's one of the more profitable movies ever. So
yeah,
mm-hmm. yeah. But what was on the VHS? Like we said, mm-hmm. No Way Home doesn't have a VHS release, so I pulled Spider-Man 2.
Let's hear it, baby.
So coming soon to theaters: Spanglish with Adam Sandler, Tia Leone.
Okay.
Hitch with pre-slap Will Smith.
Ah, yes. I've never seen it.
Yeah, I don't really like Will Smith that much.
Those are both great movies. Actually, Spanglish is a little, it was a little odd for mm-hmm, Adam Sandler, sure. but still good.
I remember as a kid wanting to see it and yeah. then kind of watching parts of it, because in that movie, I guess spoiler alert for that movie, doesn't Tia Leone, doesn't his he find out like she was like cheating on him?
Cue the crickets.
You, and here you call yourself a Spanglish nut.
Yeah. Yeah, I have it on DVD. Oh. I mean, on VHS.
Oh, well, what's yes. on the VHS? Well, I brought a list.
It's yeah. like VHS of Spanglish. Let's see, Spy Kids 2.
Whoa.
That's 2002. But yeah, Spanglish, that's all I remember from Spanglish.
Yeah.
When I think
about that movie, that's all actually, I remember too.
Yeah, that is correct.
Because yeah.
it's like he's down. I remember yeah. him being super down in that mm-hmm. movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
that was one of the only things I remember from that movie.
Yeah. So,
and I was like, oh, that sucks. I don't want to watch this.
Yep. Yeah. So I walked out of the room.
Yeah.
Now in theaters, Christmas with the Cranks.
It's almost as funny as Christmas with the Cranks.
Have you ever heard that story?
Nope, but I've heard you quote that
before. Our grandpa one time was telling our mom about this movie they'd watched like a couple nights prior. And she's like, our mom's name is Donna. And our grandpa's from Southern Missouri. So this is not, we're not making
both
fun
our grandparents.
Yeah, both yeah, of our grandparents. And he's like, oh, Don, we watched this movie the other night. It was almost as funny as Christmas with the Cranks.
we were just like, what?
That movie sucks.
And that was like 10 years ago. Yeah. We've been saying it ever since.
Yeah.
I actually watch that movie almost every year.
Really? You know, yeah. It's not that bad.
Well, the thing is, it gets kind of the quote-unquote bad rap, to say like a yeah. Jingle All the Way does,
yeah, yeah.
but it has its charm to it
mm-hmm.
to where like it's a nice tradition.
Yeah.
And kind of a family Christmas yeah. movie. Yeah. I think you're always kind of looking for like those. I think another yeah. one that's probably in the same genre would be like Deck the Halls.
Oh, yeah. Matthew Broderick and Danny DeVito.
Yeah, plus, it's similar because it's got like its annoyances. It's basically like, this is the worst Christmas. Oh, it's actually like a lot like National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Got gotcha.
Some elements. Yeah.
Yeah. And some element, it's just trying to do like a Christmas experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And like things go terribly wrong. Yeah. That's pretty much the yeah. okay. gist of it.
I get it. Yeah. 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 Plus, I mean, Tim Allen in a Christmas movie.
No, you can't
really
wrong.
Pass that up.
Yeah.
yeah.
The other day, I actually quoted something from that movie.
Oh,
because
really?
I was at the dentist mm-hmm. getting some work done. And my face was numb, and I went uh-huh. to work,
yeah.
and I was drooling. And you know, in that movie, Tim yeah. Allen gets a Botox because yes. he's getting ready to go,
yeah, yeah, yeah.
go on vacation or go on a cruise.
Yeah, yeah. yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's trying to like eat, but food's just falling out of his mouth while he's yeah. trying to smile at the same yeah. time. And that was exactly how I felt.
So. Oh, of course, funny. Yeah, of course. So Christmas with the Cranks, it gets a bad rap, but it's I've seen parts of it. It was actually
there is a nice. Like you said, there's a charm to it. You watch it, this is a nice warmth.
Something that yeah. is kind of a warmth to me is when we used to live in Chesterfield, we lived like 10, 15 minutes away from a branch of the Fantasy Shop, which was a comic book store
yeah, yeah, yeah.
that we used to go to in Florissant all the time.
That was one in St. Charles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember going in there. It was you, Jeff, and I. Jeff, mm-hmm. who has been on here countless times.
A couple weeks ago.
Yeah. It was like a December night, and we went into that yeah. fantasy shop, and they had like a TV yeah. up on one of the shelves, and yeah, Christmas yeah. with the Cranks yep. on. And I was like, I like this.
Yeah.
This feels nice.
Mm-hmm.
So just that warmth
yeah.
feeling, yep. definitely. Also coming soon to VHS and DVD, The Forgotten, the first three seasons of Seinfeld on DVD.
Nice.
White Chicks, the first Spider-Man, which is currently at this point on home video. Hellboy 2, or Hellboy on two-disc DVD.
Okay.
And finally, a soundtrack that we listened to almost as much as the first Spider-Man movie Spider-Man soundtrack, the Spider-Man 2 soundtrack.
Got a train.
Which had a vindicated, I am selfish, I am wrong. It's Dashboard Confessional.
I don't know if you could tell.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
And you call yourself a Dashboard Danny.
Yeah, that was the name of their fans.
Dashboard Dandy.
The Dashboard Dandies were the name of the fans. We like to thank all of our Dashboard Dandies.
Yes.
For listeners could only see your guys' coordinated hand movements. Yes.
Well, they can't. Not yet.
There's a lot the listeners wish they could see.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, so that was a Spider-Man 2 VHS. But back to No Way Home and back to just the subject of Spider-Man as a whole.
Yeah, we got to swing around to...
Hey, there you go. Swing around.
Hey, swing around fun time.
So before we talk about the movie, you are one of the biggest Spider-Man fans we know. So where did this all begin for you? What was your history with Spider-Man as a whole? And then to kind of tie into a couple weeks ago, what was your reaction? What can you remember of the first Spider-Man movie?
Whoa. So Spider-Man, when it came down to superheroes in the first place, I think my earliest memories of superheroes was actually a old DC show called Super Friends.
Yeah, of course.
I remember watching Super Friends at my grandma's house when we were visiting her. Basically, she happened to have cable. We did not, and so we would watch like Cartoon Network or I think it was like a section of that was called Boomerang at the time.
Yes, I love Boomerang.
But in the morning they would play Super Friends super early. So I would like hop out of bed and go into like the one place in the house where they had a TV and it had cable.
I think I remember that.
And I would watch Super Friends and be like, this show is awesome. Mm-hmm. And I started getting so that was I was probably like 5 or 6 years
old.
And then quickly after getting interested in superheroes, it was like everything having to do with Spider-Man.
Mm-hmm.
Then the actual show, the 90s cartoon.
Yeah, yeah, the cartoon. Yep.
I think the 90s cartoon was like probably a point in my life like that I was learning a lot about like the world and just like in trouble and how to navigate things.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that show and just being like, oh my goodness, he's dealing with so many realistic situations.
Yep, yeah.
That I think that show just became like a favorite of mine.
Yes.
And then I remember, so moving on to Spider-Man 1 when that was being released, I think I was 12. What year was it?
That was 2002.
2002. Yeah. So I was 12.
Yeah.
I was 12 and I was like, Mom, Dad, I have to watch this. Yeah. I know it's PG-13 and I'm 12, but really
please.
Soon, you know, I mean, I was
almost there.
And I ended up not being allowed to go to the movies to watch it, but that was my first bootleg movie I ever watched. found a way to see it very quickly. And after it hadn't even gone to the theater yet. I was like watching it, waiting for the release date, and I was able to watch it before.
Oh my god!
So that was really cool.
And it was like good. Well, how was the quality?
The quality was not great.
But it's
now
still,
in 2002, like you know, YouTube and stuff is like but it's not great.
Crazy how you watch a terrible quality bootleg and you still
it's
are
still
like,
resonating
oh yeah,
incredible.
You. Like if you saw the Green Goblin the way I saw him for the first time, you would have been so scared.
Fuzzy tracking.
Yeah. He was everywhere on the screen and then nowhere.
No. I can imagine.
But
he's in my nightmares.
Yeah, actually he was.
I did have
nightmares. But it was very I think it was just because it was, you know, one of those realistic depictions.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like nobody else, like no other superhero movie at that time was like was well done like that one. I feel like
it's like the Wild West, kind of like we said in our first Spider-Man episode. Like superhero movies were very
unproven ground, uncharted waters. Yeah. You know, you didn't give a superhero movie to a fan because you wanted to give it. You know, we don't know if this is going to be a bomb, a dud, or make us money. Yeah. So let's give it to at least some sort of proven director, whether or not they know about the subject matter or not. So Spider-Man fans got lucky because Sam Raimi was actually a fan of Spider-Man.
Daniel Bryan Singer liked X-Men, so he's a terrible human being.
Yeah,
but as far as the X-Men movie goes, during that time, it's the same thing as Sam Raimi. Yeah. He was a fan. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it was a fantastic movie, though. I do remember after watching it, just being like, "That was the coolest thing I've ever seen."
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And then also. It's pretty much out of print now, but you also have the full series of the 60s cartoon, which I am envious of because I've been trying to get my hands on that for years now.
Yep.
Yeah, I do. And it's wonderful.
Of course it is.
I actually got that from a V-Stock several years ago.
Oh man. Like, you know,
probably like 8 years ago.
Did you have any experience with the 60s cartoon? Also, Spider-Man is 60 years old this year.
Yep.
So I made a mental note to bring that up in our Spider-Man Raimi episode. Mm-hmm. But I was like editing it and I was like, damn it, I forgot. That's such a big thing.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
The web slinger, our favorite wall crawler, 60. The friendly neighborhood Spider-Man is 60.
Whew. Yep.
Excellent. With the 60s show, was that something, did you see it at V-Stock and you're like, what's this? Or did you have an awareness?
I already knew.
Okay, I would say you probably had awareness of it.
Yeah.
Because there was kind of a resurgence of that show with the release of the Raimi movie.
Yeah. Because they would put old episodes, because they would put out VHS of this 90s animated series. It would be a VHS with like three episodes.
Right
on
at the end was the first episode of the 60s Spider-Man cartoon.
And then
cartoon.
They put old episodes of the 60s Spider-Man cartoon on there.
And then you put, I think the Spider-Man special features was the first episode of the 60s cartoon. So it's just anything to kind of take the Spider-Man property and use it in the marketing.
Yeah.
So that's when we were really like, because I think we had an idea of the 60s cartoon.
Yeah.
When before Spider-Man.
Because you hear Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Spider-Man.
Yeah,
like
exactly.
That.
And we also grew up watching the 90s show.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also we had said in the Raimi episode that before the movie came out, just a few days beforehand, our mom bought us that first DK, like Dorling and Kendersley, like Spider-Man encyclopedia.
Did you ever have any of those?
I didn't have the encyclopedias, but I did start right as I was watching the 90s cartoon, I started collecting comic books.
Yes.
Yeah.
And specifically, I was always trying to piece together sections of Spider-Man.
Yeah. Yeah.
Everything else was like a hit and miss. Like I got this and this, but I was like trying to collect as much of the Spider-Man story as I could.
It's one of those things to where it's like, because I remember as a kid just buying like random comics, not connected to certain stories, or at least unaware. I was unaware they were connected to certain stories. I'd go to a comic book shop. It's like I have a little bit of money, and there's an X-Men comic right there. And so you buy it.
Yeah.
And in there, there's like dialogue, and someone makes a reference, and it says, "See Spider-Man issue da da da." I'm like,
"Or I don't have that issue." Or see Spectacular Spider-Man number 5, or Amazing Spider-Man number 2, and it's like.
Now you can buy full collections and trade paperbacks, kind of, stuff like that. I mean, you could do that then, but when you're a kid, you're like, I only had money to get this comic
book. We've talked about this in person before several times, but, you know, for anybody who knows about, like, the cloning that goes on with
like
Spider-Man.
Yeah, the clone saga.
I had tried. Now, this is before, like, eBay was really – I mean, eBay was actually the only way you could come up with some of these things when you're trying to look for like things in sequence.
Yeah.
Right. And so I was like searching for Kane. Like I had part one to part four, and I was like, I just need 5 and 6. Well, like I eventually found 5 and 6, and then I got my hands on it, and then realized that that was a 5 and 6 of a different part six of Kane. It, like, it just, and I was like, there's like 5 different ones of these, and I'll never know the whole story, you know. And,
you know what's cool is they kind of brought, just a kind of aside here, you mentioned Kane, and he's in the Clone Saga. Kane came back in 2011, and he became that the newest Scarlet Spider.
Yeah.
So that was a really cool callback, too. Mm-hmm. Kane was one of Peter Parker's clones in the Clone Saga.
Which was, the Clone Saga worked for, like, the first 6 months.
Yeah.
And because it was, like, a solid, easy-to-follow story. Like, oh, this is really cool. It's really popular. And then they're like, we got to keep this going. Yeah. So then they just added a bunch of unnecessary
elements. And you tried to follow it because you wanted to know the truth.
Yeah, that was...
You wanted to know, like, you wanted to know who of the clones were actually still... Like,
yeah, Peter Parker.
Still Peter. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, exactly. Is Ben Reilly the real Peter Parker?
It gave us Ben Reilly, which I love the 90s Ben Reilly look. Like
Scarlet Spider,
2000 Scarlet Spider, 2010 Scarlet Spider, Kane, like, looks cool, but, like, Ben Reilly Scarlet Spider is cool.
Yep.
But back to here, we actually were fortunate enough to see Spider-Man in the theaters, and the 2002 one, and it, like, as young Spider-Man fans, I think we even mentioned in our Raimi episode that it came at an intersection to where we were really, because we've been interested in loving comic book stuff with Batman, Spider-Man, X-Men were the top three since we were like in Power Rangers. Yeah. But like
5 or 6.
Those four were kind of the Mount Rushmore of what captured our imagination since we were like 4 or 5 years old. Yeah. So... seeing the first Raimi Spider-Man with being 10, we were 10 when it came out. We were going to be 11 in the summer.
Yeah.
But we were in fourth grade, and then the time it came out to where you could really kind of realistically, as much as you can quote it, realistically and kind of convincingly put Spider-Man up on the big screen with the technology that we had, with the CGI. We kind of, like, if you watch No Way Home and you watch the swing mechanics of Tom Holland's Spider-Man, even Andrew Garfield's, it's much more sophisticated. It's much more fluid and dynamic, and it's really cool. Yeah, exactly. But it's there. I don't snub my nose at all at the Sam Raimi Spider-Man, especially the first one, to where, like, the movie was in
it
development hell. It
doesn't
look bad. And, like, no.
Yeah.
And it's mesmerizing still, even though, like, it may kind of be flat compared to what we have now.
Yeah.
But it still was really cool. So whole thing, seeing the things that reminded us of Spider-Man, captured our imagination so much so that it was like the most special experience we'd ever had seeing a movie at that point. So we wanted, like, we were sad when it was over, and we wanted to do anything we could to hold on to that.
Yep.
Because of that feeling, you know, when we saw it at the end of 2021, coming up on 20 years beforehand.
Yeah.
That's why this movie was so special, is the main word I can say. And because of fandom and growing up, like you said, we saw all these movies in the theaters, loved Spider-Man, good, bad, or indifferent, good, bad, ugly, whatever you want to say. It was so special in a very emotional experience.
I mean, you were, like, we were in middle school, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you're watching this stuff kind of happen, on the big screen for like the first time. Because you know, I say I watched the bootleg, but after I watched the bootleg like 10 times, I was like, I'm gonna go watch it in the theater.
I got to go see it in the
theater,
and
it's still like you know, it
this
was actually
way better.
Yeah, way better.
Yeah.
But you know, like the Green Goblin has a shape now.
Yeah,
that's what he looks
and,
like.
Oh, he's been on a glider the whole time.
Oh, what'd you think he was on? Like a cinnamon roll?
Yeah.
No. Hot air balloon.
Yes.
Yes. Actually. Macy Gray, though, came in clear as a bell.
Yeah. But no, I do really remember those moments. And you're, I think, especially just being that age and being very impressionable.
Yes.
And also, like, just feeling like, wow, that was quite like a, like, I felt like it was a beginning of an era of movies.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And turns out, yes.
Yeah.
It was.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like that movie actually kicked off so much
potential
for others.
We can do this.
Yeah.
Like, at the very least, we can do more Spider-Man movies.
You can have a compelling story and still, like, have, like, a hero attached to it and not feel super cheesy.
Yeah. You know? That's the...
as the character as a whole, the Sam Raimi movie, as we get into No Way Home, mm-hmm. a running theme or swinging theme, I guess, of Spider-Man is it's the tragedy of Spider-Man. Mm-hmm. It's this, we've all heard with great power comes great responsibility, mm-hmm. but when you deconstruct that, it's like you have a choice. And they address it in the movie. It's like when you have all of this power and you're special and you have the power to help everybody, mm-hmm. do you do it? Mm-hmm. And then of course, you know, Peter Parker has this morality to where he's like, yeah, of course, but also I can't maintain my relationships. Mm-hmm. I can't do both. I can't juggle both, yeah. because when I try, people get hurt, mm-hmm. and I blame myself.
Yeah.
And the times that he's blamed himself, like if they get hurt, it's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
If these people die, it's my fault.
Mm-hmm.
If this villain gets away, it's my, like, it's always, it's a thankless job.
Yeah.
But you do it because it's the right thing to do. Yeah. And that's, it's that morality of it is, mm-hmm. when people say Spider-Man's the most relatable, yeah. obviously nobody has spider powers, but when you look at superheroes, he's the most human, mm-hmm. in his, and how conflicted he gets.
Yeah.
Spider-Man doesn't pay the bill. Like, being Spider-Man doesn't pay the bills.
Mm-hmm.
So he's just constantly, like, he can't hold down a job, any of that stuff. It's this responsibility. He's like, I gotta do it. But
he,
like,
is, like, super flaky to everyone, yeah, else, exactly. it seems.
Yeah. And because he can't tell them.
His job is to help strangers.
Mm-hmm.
And he wants to be there the most for the people he loves. But he's like, I have this responsibility.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I could be going out there and being an asshole, but that's not who I am. Like, mm-hmm. I need to protect people.
Yeah.
And it's at the detriment of my relationships.
Mm-hmm.
And it's this, it's a tragedy because, yeah. he's trying so hard, mm-hmm. to balance all of it.
Yeah.
And he just can't.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help. The villains are constantly reminding him, your morality makes you weak. That, mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yet he still does it.
Yeah.
And on this new movie, I think especially there's so much, like, the media is against him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Like,
yeah.
That's the other thing. He's straight up a loner.
Mm-hmm.
But something I'm trying to think about is, like, throughout all of these Spider-Man movies that we've, mm-hmm. ever seen,
mm-hmm. yeah.
there's never, like, a time where, you know, I mean, there's always time where villains are actually out destroying things, yeah. and putting people in danger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And there's never a time where he's not out reaching for them. I mean, think about, like, the train scene. Think, yeah. about, like, when Doc Ock is tossing, for the new movie, mm-hmm. when Doc Ock is tossing, yeah. cars out, he's always, yeah. catching them.
Yeah.
There was a car that I was watching. There was two cars that he threw off the side, uh-huh. of the highway.
Uh-huh.
And one of them I was like, oh, they must have already been out.
Yeah.
Right. That's why he didn't go for, yeah. it.
Right.
Because half of those cars were abandoned in that, yeah. scene or more.
Yeah. yeah.
But he's like, he still caught the other one that actually had people in it. Yeah. That, I mean, he's just a selfless character that's, mm-hmm. always looking out for those little details.
Yeah.
And it's a thankless, you know, yeah, in this movie, exactly. especially, it's, yeah. such a thankless job that he's doing. And he's doing it because it's his moral compass. Like, mm-hmm. it's just right. It's, yeah. right, and he does it.
As Tobey Maguire later on in the movie encapsulates, like, Peter's trying to explain or trying to reason things, and he's like, hey, it's what we do.
Yeah.
It's what we do as
because,
Spider-Man.
You know, the Green Goblin, the whole thing with the multiverse and stuff, the, yeah. Green Goblin comes back, obviously, because, mm-hmm. we said he's,
yeah.
in our opening, we, yeah. said that he's in the movie. Green Goblin comes back and kills Aunt May, and obviously... Yeah. This Peter in our MCU hasn't faced this level of personal tragedy.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this is the same Peter that in the beginning of the, mm-hmm. movie is upset because his two close friends aren't going to the same school as,
right.
him.
Yeah.
Clearly, he hasn't dealt with death.
Yeah.
Like, in that capacity.
Even though, like, he disappeared.
Right.
And Thanos, yeah. just snapped, yeah. and even though, like, he's battled these intergalactic, mm-hmm. monsters and come out on top, he still has that narrow mind of, like a, I'm not putting high schoolers on blast, yeah. here, but teenagers, high school, kind of that narrow mind of, like, what's next in life. Yeah, all that,
sure.
stuff is amazing. Like, that's great. But, like, also, my brain is scrambled because, like, my identity, I'm now persona non, yeah. grata, mm-hmm. because the opening of the movie,
mm-hmm.
is where... Far From Home, and,
yeah, where, and, Mysterio gives, yeah. away his identity,
yeah, which, yeah. we were talking about right out of the gate. We were like, what, this is, it's a great way of, like, continuing what, even though it was 2 years after the fact. Yeah. It's a great way of continuing what the last one ended on, to open up the movie with this kind of frenetic urgency of like the first 10-15 minutes, all of the world finds out that Peter Parker's Spider-Man, he's being framed for the death of Mysterio. It ends up like him and everyone he loves is like now like under that those hot interrogation lights, both figuratively and literally.
Yeah.
And it turns out like he'll be cleared of charges and stuff like that, thanks to Matt Murdock.
We get a Matt Murdock cameo,
which
had me jumping, boy.
Yeah. But that doesn't mean it's not without its negative effects.
Sure.
Like because it's one thing if people find out your identity and it becomes troublesome, because sure, villains know, bad people know, but also people are nagging you to save them.
Yeah.
People find his identity in the worst way for him. So now he's like,
he didn't get a choice in that. Like he can't slowly reveal it to people. Like I would assume he would want to slowly kind of reveal it to the people you love and close to you. And now just without, against my will,
we haven't had a Spider-Man in the movies have to deal with that.
Yeah. And very quick, very quick into it. Because it's like seamlessly flows from the last Spider-Man movie straight into this one.
Mm-hmm.
And then even like you're saying, his identity is given away. And then all of a sudden, like, random people on the street or like if Spider-Man's there, oh, Spider-Man hit me, did you see that? People are diving out after him trying to get some type of liability. It's nuts.
Spider-Man.
Yeah,
it's turning people against him immediately, regardless as to if they even liked him or not.
And it's a teenage Spider-Man having to deal with it, not with
like
the Maguire and Andrew Garfield movies kind of it puts them more in, I mean, the Andrew Garfield Spider-Man, he was in high school a little longer, but that in that first Tobey Maguire Spider-Man, we said in the Raimi episode, he's hot-shotted.
Yeah.
As Jeff said, he's hot-shotted to adulthood. He does. So
there's stuff in high school in those movies, but they're just kind of a means to, like, they're there. It's like, you got to show him in school because it's an origin story or whatever. Yeah.
But this Peter Parker is in high school still, starting senior year, and really starting to see the pitfalls in his own personal life of being Spider-Man. It's not so much he's trying to help the Avengers save the city, or he has to, you know, deal with, you know, I guess the Vulture, or he's in Europe. Now it's all like, now everything's directly affecting him and the Avengers are elsewhere. And the only one who can help him really is Doctor Strange. And that goes to hell and all this stuff. So it's just, this movie has an intensity to it because it's building up as a finale. You know, it's 2.5 hours long. We're right out of the gate having to see him deal with this really heavy stuff.
Where we're at in the MCU now, we're dipping into the multiverse. We're about to throw two other Spider-Men in there. Like, there's a lot going on.
Not to mention every villain that's been showcased in the previous, you know, five of the movies beforehand, because we don't see more Vulture or Mysterio.
Right.
But so it's all this stuff, and it's just, it almost, the movie at parts just doesn't let you up at all, like, to breathe.
Yeah.
Like, and that's where the levity comes in, kind of that patented MCU levity, to where a couple times you're like, we don't need, like, this character doesn't need to be cracking jokes, but it's all fine. It's all welcome.
And Peter, just because, I mean, almost the pleasantries, Peter wants the world to forget that he's Spider-Man, and he ruins the spell, and, like, it opens the multiverse, and we start to see Alfred Molina, who does a great job, Willem Dafoe, who
stole the show,
the star of the show,
like,
undoubtedly.
Just,
and
really it, intense and scary and different than his portrayal. In the first, he was kind of campy in the first time he shows up. He's very much like a cartoonish in a way. I mean, he has intensity, has, you know, he has menace, but in this movie,
his moments and his motives are like literally out of control. He hops into the scene at the exact time that I mean, it was like a science where, mm-hmm. You know, here all of a sudden, he's in the shot.
Yeah.
He's throwing out his grenades.
Like, yes.
And they're just, it's just there popping right in front of your face. Mm-hmm. And,
yeah.
And in the exact places they need to be. So everything mm-hmm. is very methodical about where yes. he is. And it's kind of terrifying.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and this doesn't necessarily have to do with the story, but each Spider-Man series has mm-hmm. a certain aesthetic to it.
Yeah.
And so because those characters exist within that aesthetic, you're like, how well is this going to translate mm-hmm. to the MCU?
Yeah.
Because the MCU is this force, mm-hmm. this dominating force, yep. and everything within it has a certain aesthetic to it. And it was seamless.
Yeah.
Like it was like they looked, everybody looked like they belonged.
Mm-hmm. By the way, this yes. makes me think, okay, so Green Goblin, again, 2002
yeah.
for original
yeah.
when this came out. And, you know, again, as a kid, you're watching this for the first time and you're like, okay, that's scary. Like he's scary. He's a bad, you know,
right.
he's a villain.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember taking that in and being like, man, Hobgoblin is no joke.
Mm-hmm.
But if you were to ask me if there was a villain that was going to come up in this new movie
yeah.
That I think wouldn't really translate well, I would have said the Green Goblin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He blew it out.
Just because his costume, you're like, that's a little silly. But
yeah.
they found a way around that
yeah.
to where it was more kind of demented
yeah.
and like, I don't know, it fit that universe.
But he shows up and you have that little bit of him like on the bridge, like you mentioned earlier. It's just a simple thing. It's kind of silly. Like Peter's trying to get a hold of this this admissions officer because of who he is. MJ, Ned, and him don't get into MIT, and it's affecting his friends. So he goes and he tries to convince this admission officer, but then Doc Ock shows up and it's an awesome scene on the bridge. And then Green Goblin pops up. So we see Green Goblin and we're like, whoa. And it almost makes it seem like it was like a dream or a vision. But then we see Norman having his kind of dual identity thing at the dumpster.
Yeah, mm-hmm. exactly.
And I get, emotional in a different way because Willem Dafoe, when he's playing up being like kind of a lost, scared puppy, like showing up at Aunt May's.
He's very compelling.
Bank.
Very compelling.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he's so convincing to where you feel so bad for him. And
he's just a conflicted guy. Maybe he won't be as bad.
And then Doctor Strange doesn't want to hear it. He teleports him into the pod and he's like, Peter, please don't let them do this to me.
Because they got to get him back to their universes. But they're like, they all realize, because it's all the villains, they're like, wait, we die? I don't want to die. And Peter's like, well, what if we like made them good? I don't want to send them to their deaths. And Doctor Strange is like, it's their destiny. He's mm-hmm. like, yeah, but like, what if we, can we at least try to help
That's
them?
That's the virtue in the noble aspects of mm-hmm. Spider-Man that Aunt May says beforehand. Yeah. Like, she's like, no, you can help them. Like mm-hmm. you need, like you, it's on, like not on you. It's, you should help them because it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And you have this power and you should help them. But back to Willem Dafoe, like I felt so bad for him when mm-hmm. he's like, no, don't let them do this to me, Peter. And when watching the first Spider-Man a couple weeks ago, I was like, this is way different. Cause he was this arrogant kind of prickish, like demented.
Yeah.
Like, cause even if he wasn't Green Goblin, he was a selfish prick.
Yeah.
Right.
Who like was
somewhat of a scientist himself.
Yeah. Okay. that got a pop out of a lot of people. Yeah. Like, you know, I'm somewhat of a scientist myself. But he's much more empathetic in this mm-hmm. movie.
And,
or you're much sympathetic for him.
Think about this because, you know, this Peter, mm-hmm. our Peter in our current MCU has never met him.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
You know, and it's such like a I think that you know, Spider-Man would normally be one who can guess how, like, the intentions mm-hmm. of a person.
I think his spider-sense kind of helps that.
I mean, that's really important for him. And so, you know, if he's being conflicted by that and giving, you know, opportunities for all of these guys, I mean, another killer part in this movie is that Doc Ock and Norman Osborn are like remember
they're
each
peers.
Other,
yeah.
are
yeah.
peers,
yeah.
and it is like the complex like relationship that they have. It's wonderful to watch.
Exactly. And one of the best babyface turns in this movie is Doc Ock.
Because Doc Ock was just a man who was driven crazy by like his invention.
His
like
tentacles.
He was a well-meaning scientist who was played up as kind of this father figure of Peter Parker.
Yeah.
He's his mentor.
Actually, Peter Parker would have become Doc Ock, you know, in a sense.
Yeah.
Like
in
the future, he would have strived to be what Octavius was.
Well-respected scientist who works for the betterment of mankind.
He's one of the better symbols of man going in and out of sanity, and Peter often fit like in the Spider-Man PS4 game, like spoiler alert, at the end it's like he tries to, you know, he's like there's still some Octavius in there and it's like, but also no, he's so far
driven mad.
Yeah, and even when Doc Ock was like, Peter, please don't leave me, it's like I know this man. This is not him. But also, like, there's nothing more I can do for him. It's knowing when to let making the tough decisions and knowing when to let someone go because you can't help them anymore kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
So I think Doc Ock, I think they do that a lot, at least in stuff like movies and video games and stuff.
Yeah.
They use Doc Ock kind of as that moral symbol. They do a real good job of showing him as really like kind, and then he gets corrupted.
You are
Spider-Man sometimes when you're like, what would I do if I was faced with that?
I like his presence in the Raimi movies because it ties in one of the more notable aspects of Spider-Man, and that's the science. He's the scientist.
Yeah.
Because like it dove more into Andrew Garfield's movie. Because I think when you're now having them create their own web shooters, you have to show that some sort of scientific bend, instead of just saying I'm going to science school or I'm being mentored by this scientist.
Yeah. It's how he gets out of trouble.
Yeah,
it's like in shit, what's the first one? Homecoming.
Yeah.
It's like, all right, Spider-Man, let's science our way out of it kind of thing.
Exactly.
He gets out of the mirror dimension with algebra.
Yeah.
With math.
And then in this movie, when the three Spider-Men converge, they're like, all right, let's science our way. Let's science this.
Yeah. I mean, we can set the tone for this all day, or we can set the table for this all day. What I'm referring to, we're talking about theater experiences.
Oh, yeah.
We got to talk about the entrance of Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire.
So up to this point, I'm already giddy over seeing like Doc Ock and Green Goblin. You know, Jamie Foxx is Max Dillon and Electro. He gets redemption in this. Thomas Hayden Church is Flint Marko.
Yeah.
Dr. Kirk Connors is Lizard. Seeing all these people, that's cool. You're getting to hear Tom Holland say Doc or Otto or Norman Osborn and all
cool.
these things.
That's a small detail, but I like it.
But the best part is
what was your theater?
Yeah,
it was
the most emotional thing for me personally up to that point, but.
Yeah.
For those of you listening, you know what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So what was the theater experience like for you when we first see the Spider-Man show up?
You're asking me in the theater. Okay.
Yeah.
So
let's have it.
Yeah. So I was with Katie and her brothers and brother and sisters.
Your wife, Katie.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And so we're in the theater just watching it, and I'm thinking, okay, Ned's about to try to open this portal up. Everybody goes silent, and it was like the first time so far in the movie that everybody's finally like, nobody's eating popcorn.
Yeah,
like nothing's happening.
It's like there's
and you just hear everybody
feeling.
Go like,
yeah,
and just a just a silent like, and a couple people start clapping, but people are like, shh,
stop.
It just stops everything. and then you're just annoying, like, you're just taking it in because like everybody's head is just like nobody's moving. It's just super focused on the screen. And just seeing like, personally, for me, I'm like, how long is this going to last? Tell me tell me we get like a little bit out of this, because
your word is just cameos.
Yeah. And I've seen, we've seen a lot of cameos, mm-hmm. and it happens, and it's always like, oh, that was cool. But it's over so quick. And so then he's like, okay, how am I going to show you I'm Spider-Man? So then he jumps up, grabs the ceiling, and literally like everybody's just like, yes. And then like, is it Ned's mom?
Grandma.
Ned's grandma.
Yeah.
So Ned's grandma's like, talking to him. It's just such a, it's like a playful entrance.
It's such a beautiful Spider-Man.
Yeah. I mean, it really was. Yeah. And then I didn't expect another portal to open.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't. So they're like, oh, we still need to get him. And then I was like, you've got to be kidding me. I just could not breathe.
Oh, yeah.
I don't remember how long it was that I was not breathing. I was just taking that in.
You're like, you're processing it. And you're like, oh, my God.
Because, like, when Andrew Garfield comes through the first one, because, like, we were like, no. It can't, even though we kind of figured maybe.
I mean, we hoped.
We hoped. Yeah, because like their villains are here, so maybe they'll show up.
Was like, but they were really good about keeping it secret.
Yeah, even up to that point, and then Andrew Garfield runs up and audibly, everybody's like,
Exactly.
Like that. And just claps, and then they're like, find the other Peter, and they're like, oh, because this swelling.
In my head, I was like, I mean, Tobey Maguire's got to be next. And I was like, you know when you're getting emotional and kind of your scalp tingles?
Yeah.
And like
spider sense.
That's what it is.
The tingle. And like you can feel it kind of in your chest. And you're like, if this happens, this is going to release.
I'm going
to
cry.
I will not be able to contain this.
Yeah.
And when they open the next portal, oh, man. And you see Tobey Maguire with the silhouette, and then he just kind of pokes his head in there, and it's Tobey Maguire. And that was it. Like, I was sobbing.
I mean, already when Andrew Garfield walks in, I'm thinking, this movie isn't another league.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Like,
I'm already like, what they've accomplished so far and what they've set up is crazy. How are they going to do this?
Yeah.
And so you're kind of celebrating being like, this is going to be a sweet movie. And then they bring in Tobey Maguire, in which everybody just starts screaming and clapping, and I'm trying to like process it.
Yeah.
I'm trying to pull myself back into my body and be like, whoa, this is crazy.
Because Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man movies get a lot of slack. But I think Andrew Garfield is an incredible Spider-Man.
Because you were in the bathroom in the final fight. He's like he's showing what he would do as Spider-Man. Like he's going to grab the serum and he's like oh and like starts making yoink and like stuff like that.
And it's then just like, small.
And
kinda,
then like the lizard is has him pinned down. He's like, hey, Dr. Connors, how's it going?
Or he's like,
he was such a good Spider-Man.
He's like,
he's like, all right, wait your turn. And like,
that's so great.
And he's very good with quips. We mentioned about
Andrew Garfield's a Spider-Man fan.
Exactly.
Whereas Tobey Maguire didn't read Spider-Man comics.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter.
You know, but I mean, I'd say Andrew Garfield is he's really great Spider-Man in his suit.
Yes.
Like, and outside, but I'll say like in his suit, he's just like, we were kind of talking about this where it's like situations happen and you can just kind of hear his like humanity, also his kind of jokingness.
Yeah.
Even if he's getting like, beaten up on.
Oh, there's a couple broken ribs.
Yeah.
Like,
I mean, and he just, like,
well, look out.
And he just keeps going. And I thought when his movies actually came out, I was like, oh, he might be a little too cool of a Peter Parker.
Yeah.
But you know what? Look at his amazing job in this movie.
Yes.
I mean, the way it just brought him to a whole nother level for me that he, that he played off everything that he did in this movie and that you would see that I really still want to see.
Yeah.
Like all the bonus stuff just about how some of that was just like it wasn't supposed to happen. It wasn't in the script.
Yeah.
And seeing what he kind of added into it.
It's incredible.
You watch some of his conversations with like Tobey Maguire and you can see like, oh, he's like super smiling.
Yeah.
Like
he loves it.
He's like enjoying. He's almost in as much disbelief as we are that he's on the screen again with Tobey Maguire. And
he grabs them before they sink. They officially sync up, which we'll get to.
Oh,
I feel like, I feel like we got to touch on the roles that the Spider-Man play, and when they sync up, Andrew Garfield grabs both. He's like, guys, I love you guys.
That was so Andrew Garfield.
I loved it because he loved being, he wanted to be Spider-Man so much. Yeah. He loved being Spider-Man. He's the only one out of the three of them who got shorted. I guess kind of Tobey Maguire got shorted on a fourth one, but that third one didn't do so well. Yeah. And I think Sam Raimi lost interest.
But at least people look on the Tobey movies fondly, whereas people just want to nitpick the Andrew Garfield movies.
There are good reasons in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
But he loved being Spider-Man, and he wanted that third movie so much, especially with as much as the Amazing Spider-Man 2 set up. It's just you're glad to see that he gets another shot redemption. To be Spider-Man.
There was
redemption
in this that was well deserved.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and what I actually liked about I didn't feel like a ton of people were about this either when it happened, but they realized it, but. The Amazing Spider-Mans, when they came out, they were such a small. Okay, so that think about Transformers, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
Transformers were every like all those movies were everywhere.
Yeah,
and it was all like this epicness, right? Yeah. Where you're like destroying whole cities and worlds, whatever. There was a lot going on with all the Transformers movies, and it was kind of too much epicness.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas the Amazing Spider-Man, like,
it's very ground level.
Yeah, I mean, it was like, okay, maybe it was about a city,
mm-hmm. right?
But that's what I think they did really well on was like they were trying to work on compelling stories on like him against a villain.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. And it didn't have to be like the whole world's about to blow up in
exactly.
5 seconds.
Yeah,
you know, it wasn't like it was more of a. It's funny to say realistic, but it was more simple of a plot.
Mm-hmm.
And I said for a long time that's what I wanted to have happen
because
it creates a good, compelling story. It allows character development to really happen.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Exactly.
And then, we don't get a third. So
luckily,
we did get a third.
He's included in this
third. It's so telling how well-received his performance was because the amount of, like, the almost like the next week, people are like, we want the Amazing Spider-Man 3.
Yeah.
We want a multiverse movie with Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield.
Yeah.
Even
if
Tom Holland's, maybe even Spider-Man's just kind of going to be Sony stuff now. Yeah. Like, we want Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire, or we want them for Sony.
Yeah, yeah, they really wanted it.
Yeah.
I mean, you can see it everywhere.
Yeah.
I think that's also a testament to that MCU magic as well, because the MCU, Who's the director? I just said
John Watts.
John Watts. He's been with the Spider-Man movies since Homecoming.
Mm-hmm.
So he knows how to work an MCU Spider-Man movie.
Yeah.
So to include those two who were in stylistically different Spider-Man movies, to make them seem like they fit with the humor that was infused.
Yeah.
They both were hilarious.
John Watts was a fan.
Mm-hmm.
He did his research.
Yeah. And then when they all sync up, it doesn't seem like you're just trying to make things fit. You don't have two guys who have chemistry and one is awkward and blah, blah. No, everybody, even like, because they all play their parts. Like Andrew Garfield is like, it's Andrew Garfield as Spider-Man. You can tell, like, it's Andrew Garfield. Like, he's giddy to be in it. He's like, whoa, like, there's two of, you guys got to do this stuff. Oh, like, this he's self-deprecating. Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of Andrew Garfield's real life. Insecurities, but also, like, I could see him blaming himself a lot for those Spider-Man movies not doing well. So that
I was going to say it, but also, like, look, everybody was super mad at that movie because of what the writers had done.
It's
because nobody wanted Gwen to die, right?
Exactly.
And so then he had to deal with that
for
so long. And I think that they gave him just such a good gift in this movie where it's like, okay, you know, MJ is falling.
Yeah.
Tom Holland jumps and you're just like, we have seen this before, right? I mean, I remember this being such a huge like part in the comics when I'm watching like Gwen and all of this happen, I'm like, oh no, I know how this ends.
Yes.
And you know, when you've actually watched Andrew Garfield's performance, whoo, that was tragic.
Yeah.
Like that was tragic and unexpected.
Yeah.
because you thought, oh, the movie always changes a little thing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, they're not going to kill. I mean, but, I know she died, but they're not going to kill her in this movie.
But
yeah.
Whoops, it happened, and now he's been, you know, dealing with that. And I swear, if he actually saved her and she lived, that those movies wouldn't have the rep that they, like the rap that they the bad rap that they did have,
right?
Like. It wouldn't have happened, but that's not his fault.
No, that's not his fault.
Yet he's actually carried it for that long.
There's got to be so much real Andrew Garfield that's talking about, because Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man in this, because Toby is like the wise older brother, kind of the chill elder statesman.
Yeah,
Tom is the current Spider-Man,
the current one who's got the biggest axe to grind.
Exactly. And Andrew is like, he's like, I'm here, I'm having fun, I love you guys, but also like he is racked with. With guilt, insecurity, self-worth. Like he's when he's trying to appeal to Peter, because Peter's like, you guys don't understand, like whatever, your other me's, you guys don't understand. And he, something that didn't even occur to me when Andrew Garfield is talking about how he couldn't save Gwen, blamed himself for that. After that, he didn't care anymore. He stopped pulling his punches against people. And I'm like, that never occurred to me that like Spider-Man doesn't want to kill people. He could easily kill people. Like he is so strong in his I'm like, how much else does he hold back in the name of like trying to appeal to like someone's humanity or trying to, you know, how much does he hold back to maintain, to sort of keep himself in check? Like, and to make sure I don't want to kill this person. Sure, I'll hurt them, but my main goal is to, like, turn them, is to make them good, is to make them see, like, you don't have to be bad kind of thing. So when he said I stopped pulling my punches, I was like, whoa, I never even thought about that. And there are some shots where you can see that Tom Holland Spider-Man isn't pulling punches with the Green Goblin at the end. But, yeah, that a lot of – a lot that was very relatable to me. Andrew Garfield's Spider-Man is the most relatable to me, just kind of – personally,
yeah,
because I deal with a lot of like self-worth and stuff like that, and just it's cool, and identity, and it's just like, it was just cool to kind of see like the Tobey Maguire Spider and be like, hey, like, no,
you're amazing.
So here, the amazing Spider-Man.
Yeah, this is incredible.
I
want to
hear you say it. Like,
yeah, exactly.
Hey, positive self-talk, bud. Yeah. You're amazing.
Yeah. So that was
cool. Which is also, I mean, I was sorry not to.
No, go for it.
But the other thing is that, you know, we remember Tobey Maguire's movies. And we, like, we remember him just feeling alone a lot, right? Yeah,
it's very lonely.
And then to see him now talking back to, you know, talking to the other Spider-Men. Like, that wasn't that long ago for him, but. Like we've seen him in those three movies just like deal with a lot. And then just to see, it's kind of like it's a self-talk thing from like experience. So I've said, okay, you know, whether that's like inner child work, whatever it is, where it's like, hey, we are all like each other. We're all like, you know, we're all the same. It's what we do.
Yeah,
right.
Exactly.
So like, but him having the experience, as that older brother, it brings this layer of healing on top of like what they're all dealing with. And it's kind of like when you speak for one, you speak for all of us.
Yeah. You're not alone, man.
And like finally these, I keep saying Spider-Men, which is really
we
weird.
We are Spider-Men.
But I mean, like they're hearing it for the first time ever that somebody else like is relating to that, like, to that story, or like, they're bringing a piece of wisdom that like you should be able to accept. It's just it's healing. I felt that through the whole movie, which is just like, man, this is like resolving something that I've been holding.
Know? It's like no one as Spider-Man, no one like in their universes, they're like, people can understand loss, but they'll never understand anything I'm going through.
Yeah.
Like never. Why would they? I'm the only person in the entire world that has the powers that I do. And it's just this, you said healing. And it just is. And then they meet two other, like, you do understand.
You are me, but like here, you're me, but you're like not me, but you still
have gone
that's Wayne's
through
basement, except
that's not Wayne's basement.
Yeah.
but you've gone through that hurt and pain, that loss. You've gone through some things that I haven't gone through as Spider-Man.
Yeah.
We can build off of that. We can make each other stronger, even if it isn't just in this special instance.
Yeah. There were multiple parts in this movie where I was just in my head being like, this is a real gift.
Yes.
Like, this movie is like a rewarding.
Yes.
Like, it's a movie that is such like, it's such a gift to you.
It is. It's like, this is meeting me where I'm at.
It was impressive.
It was both, you know, I guess more existentially, like we're talking here, kind of maybe on a deeper level, but then also just physically, the whole third act of the movie is them working together. They're doing science, and then now they have to go fight.
They find out that Tobey Maguire has organic webbing because weren't they making web fluid? And he's like, "What's that for?"
Tom Holland had like his a web shooter, and he's like, "What's that for?" And or he asked like Ned to throw him his web shooter or something. He's like, "What's that for?" He's like, this is how this, and him and Andrew Garfield, like, this is how we make our webs. And he's like, you don't have this? And he's like, no, I just.
He shoots a web.
Yeah.
And they're like, what?
It's like, so how does your body make that? There's this one sliver of time to where they're all talking about their own abilities as Spider-Man and what they've gone through. Like, it's like, well, what's your guys' like worst villain? It's like, well, I think Andrew Garfield's like, you've met all of mine. And, and Toby's like, there's one time I had to face this alien that tried to kill me.
Yeah.
And he's like, I faced some aliens both here and outer space. He's like, rewind, you went to space. It's like, you guys are so much cooler than I am.
Yeah.
And like, it's such a funny moment. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a funny thing.
Yeah.
It is such a reward. And it's rewarding.
Gift is the best way to put it.
Especially for people of a certain age like us who were, again, those times in our lives where we discovered Spider-Man and where we got to indulge and take part in all this Spider-Man media and Spider-Man movie. Yeah. And then as we've grown up, we've just grown in love for Spider-Man, of him and his lore, and then seeing all these movies and you know, through every aspect of our life, from elementary school on through middle school, on through high school, on through college, on through adult, like every Spider-Man movie had some touchstone.
Yeah.
In my life, in your guys' lives, when we'd see him, when it all culminates inside of this contained world that this current Spider-Man is living in, this beloved Spider-Man is living in. Now, all these two Spider-Men who were going it alone, essentially, they didn't have connections to a wider universe, are now welcomed into this, and they're being appreciated and loved for the joy and the memories they brought. For the viewers who did get emotional when they see Andrew Garfield for the first time, who sob when they see Tobey Maguire, who cried when Aunt May says, "With great power comes great responsibility," before she died, where we finally get that from his parental figure, and then
who stood up and cheered during that final fight, baby.
Oh my God! So when when they start to fight everybody because they create these serums to help change everybody, so when they go back to their own universes, hopefully they can be spared a life of like evil doing evil, but they're working together and they're all just running into each other, that the Statue of Liberty, and they're all running into each other and blah blah blah, and then finally they all they're like, Toby and Andrew are like, we've never worked in a team before, and then like, and Tom Holland's like, I've worked on a team, I was part of the Avengers. He's like, really? That's so cool. What's that? What is that?
That's so awesome. What is that?
But he's like, was it a band? Were you in a band?
Yeah. When they finally sync up, though, David, you made an observation that I was like, oh, that's so cool. You're like, it's almost like they're swinging off of each other kind of thing.
Yeah. It was like they were doing this, like, this triangle formation.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it was like right after they were talking about working as a team. It was nuts.
Yeah.
I mean, the position and everything. I have no idea.
Imagery.
Yeah. I have no – I mean, actually, if I quickly talk about Like,
yeah, please.
If I quickly talk about how that, the hits, the scene when Doc Ock starts coming up onto the street in the first place, like everything about the connection of like of, you know, when he's attacking, when he's ripping cars, you know, like off the highway, it's like everything sounds right. When you're watching the theater, it like it almost hits you. Like the connection is nuts in this movie. So I have no idea how they did it. I think it's one of the best as far as like how they mechanically put all of that together. It's so realistic that I felt like a lot of times I'm the one being tugged and you know, like pulled into a situation. So then that ending, you know, like those ending scenes, you have three different unique Spider-Men. That I keep saying that, and it's going to keep happening because hey, they're all together in a movie, and that's insane.
It's crazy.
But they are letting them still, like, you can tell who is who by the way they're swinging. By the way we mentioned this. By the way that they're positioned their hands. Like Andrew Garfield's a really. He's a really like loose swinger, and
he's kind of a surfer swinger.
I mean, he kind of flicks his wrist, and wherever his web goes, like that's where he lets his body follow. Whereas like you have Tobey Maguire, who we all, you know, that's the first thing we experience, and he's always pointing where he's going. And then like really with Tom Holland, his is very. It's specific, but you can tell he's like predetermined where it's gonna land. Like they all have their different style. And then watching them jump off the Statue of Liberty together, and they're all those three things are happening at the same time. You're just watching them. It's insane.
It's amazing. It's just the small details of like, I love that you pointed out each one is uniquely different. The way they swing, the positioning of their bodies, with the whip sound when they shoot webs. They caught all those details. Like when Andrew Garfield and Tobey Maguire see each other for the first time, they look super suspect. So Andrew Garfield shoots a web and Tobey Maguire shoots a web. And Tobey Maguire's webs have a certain like thwip sound to them. They both do that backflip and then drop. And then we're all like,
And it brings you back to 2002. And then you're like, this is on the big screen, boys. You know, like again.
I think that's what's been what was more emotional for me because, I liked two. I liked three. There are things about it I like. There are things that I'm just like, eh. But that first movie will always be special to me. Norman Osborn. Like, just hearing Norman Osborn, Peter, like that, and then just him talk, that takes me back to seeing the theaters. That will make that makes me emotional in and of itself. Because, like, that Green Goblin was a part of it, and that was menacing for me then. That was scary for me then, and like that was a big deal then. And just and how they bookend, like ultimately Willem Dafoe as Green Goblin is the big baddie in this movie.
Of the movie,
exactly. He's Dafoe. So like
Willem is Dafoe.
Willem is Dafoe of the movie.
Kind of like we mentioned on for the
cut,
go to commercial. He did in the first one. He did 90% of his own stunts. In this one, did most of his own stunts.
He's a monster.
He was way more physical in this movie.
Power bombs, spine busters. But yeah, and just another small thing. But I'm not sure where you were at in terms of...
What's so tough, and David, you mentioned this while we were watching the movie, this movie is so layered in so many ways that like it's so tough to try and touch on everything. The biggest thing we can tell you is like, watch the movie.
The movie. We touched on it before, but now that we have a bit more context... There are several different key moments in the movie that you're like, that's Spider-Man. If I had to sum it up, it's what this person just said. And when they're...
There were a lot of them.
And much more emphasis put on his Spidey sense helping.
It slows everything down. Here's his heartbeat.
The scene where Norman officially turns.
That was sick.
Awesome. They essentially, May and Peter have to hide out in Happy's condo or Hondi's... Happy's condo.
Hapco.
Hondi's
Hani's cornrows.
Yeah.
And Happy's condo.
Yeah.
Like, Happy has all this Stark technology. So, like, Peter brings all of them back because he's like, we can create these things that can help all stop being evil.
Yeah.
And then when you go back to your universes, you can be more valued members of your society. You cannot live a life of evil. So when they're there, like, Norman Osborn is, like, giving Peter kudos, and he's saying, like, you know, you're, like,
remarkable. This and you.
Yeah. And all that stuff. And, like, I in the theater and watching it again now, I'm just getting so stressed out and so tense because I'm like, this is going to go to shit.
Yeah.
This is going to go to shit. When is it going to happen?
Yeah.
Where is it? Where is it?
And everything slows down. Yeah.
And like Peter sticks this device inside Max that's going to absorb all of the electricity. And then he's created this chip that goes in the back of Otto's head that has kind of helped calm him down.
Yeah.
And with Norman, he has a serum with Norman. And before, like, May's walking down the steps and Peter gets this really intense, like, spider sense moment.
Yeah.
And, like, he's everyone's just kind of like, looking around. Problem? Everything's slowing down. Like,
Max
Peter,
is like,
are
why
okay?
are you looking at me that way?
And then Peter just turns his head and just shoots a web at Norman and it stops his hand.
Yeah.
And he's like, you finally got it.
Yeah.
And like his face comes out of a shadow.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm like, that's where he becomes the big bad guy.
It was a turning mess. I mean, because you're thinking, okay, first off, Peter believes that he can change these guys and win them over. So he just lets them all out of where they're safely being held and says, come on, guys, come out here and help me, you know, help me basically figure out how to help you guys. First off, he's one dude. And then he takes his Aunt May with him.
Yeah.
And like, it's already danger zone. I was telling, if I'm talking to you guys about it, it's basically like, why would I take five guys and try to take them all at once and say, you're all going to be good?
Yeah.
No, I would do maybe one and keep the other four where they need to be.
Yeah. Like, that way they can come
safe.
And be like, I'm
cured. Yeah. Woo! Safe. Yeah, exactly.
Do everybody.
Yeah. Now, one more at a time.
Yeah.
Let's get this done. You
come
know,
on.
But no.
Yeah.
And the interesting thing about that is that Peter is showing by his actions that he believes in these guys.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's winning them over. Mm-hmm. I mean, Doc Ock, it won him over.
Yeah.
Just like, hey, this is the same Peter I recognize.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And throughout the movie, you see that pays off. So, like, that's amazing. That's a great payoff for him.
Oh, yeah.
Even with Sandman, it's just this relationship is like, wow, these Peters have something in common.
Yeah.
And I love that theme that you can, like, feel through that trust. But, man, when the Green Goblin turns.
Oh, man.
It is a crazy.
It's
the craziest scene. It's quite haunting.
He ultimately causes the demise of where Happy was living. But it's everything falls apart.
Yeah.
Everything falls apart. Like, the DEA show up and like ultimately the glider kills May and that was such a huge gut punch and then like the DEA
you're like
show
oh
up.
She's okay because she like stands up walks up she's like I just need to catch my breath
and
I
then just Tom Holland's performance
it was
with May
it was incredible
but and then like Happy like Peter run and like it's just that moment
Peter,
to where
help. Peter catch
like a hook.
Yeah. But what I was getting at was when they're all of the moments that remind you that Spider-Man when it's Tom Holland and Tobey Maguire and he's like, we gotta fix them, and Tobey Maguire's like, all of them. We have to fix all of them.
Yeah.
It's what we do.
Exactly.
It's like because you can tell he was keeping out Goblin because he's like I'm gonna kill this guy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like, I already have plans.
Yeah, exactly.
Mm-hmm. And he kind of tries to bring him back in.
Big brother
pulls him into maturity.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Yeah.
It's
because
like, it's what we do.
Because he knows, and he told him this like as he first introduces himself. Mm-hmm. He's like, you know, I saw Uncle Ben's like killer die, and that didn't do anything for
him.
Like it didn't solve anything, so like he knows that revenge doesn't taste right. It doesn't feel right.
Yeah, exactly. And so ultimately when Tom Holland's Peter Parker, he just beat the shit out of the goblin and he's about to ram the glider into him, Tobey Maguire comes up and stops him and gives him this look like, don't do this. You
can't do this.
Don't do, you can't do this. And then he gets stabbed, but it's one of those things to where like, it doesn't really amount to anything. Just more like,
I've been stabbed before.
Yeah, like Andrew Garfield. Andrew Garfield throws Tom Holland the serum, and then he sticks it in Norman.
Yeah.
But
knocks his head off. No.
Yeah, I wish. It's like Dumb and Dumber. His head fell off. but I think we touched on it very briefly, but I just want to say the emotional impact that Andrew Garfield saving MJ.
Yes. Yeah.
Like that was.
It's like that.
That was emotional.
He doesn't have to blame himself anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Now, yes, huge.
Yeah.
Big part, like big emotional part right there. But also, thinking back on Aunt May, she, it's like she doesn't know that she's about to die.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And he's holding her.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And then he's trying to, he's trying to process what's going on as she's dying in his arms.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And then at the same time, he's got like 40 guns pointing at him.
Now he's like,
and
I gotta get out of here. Leave
no
my aunt.
Time to process that. Yeah. Happy's trying to save his life.
Yeah.
He's still getting shot at and has to leave Aunt May's body there. Yeah. Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
Yep. Like, that's insane.
Yeah. Yep. And we've touched on so many in the third act when they're all swinging with one another. So many snapshots could be taken from that just made us stand up and cheer. Ultimately, at the end, everybody goes back to their universe, but because of what's happening, more people who know Peter Parker are starting to come through, and that means from every universe. So a part of that, if you've seen the movie, you saw a part of that is Peter makes the ultimate sacrifice, and he's like, I want everybody to forget who I am.
Yeah.
And Doctor Strange, who's been kind of pragmatic and kind of like stern and like kind of like cold towards the idea of, like, he's like, kid, I understand what you're trying to do. And then when he sees Peter's plan is working, he's like, Peter, I'm proud of you for what you tried to do. I'm proud of you for the work you did, but
the stability of the universe is in jeopardy still.
And he's like, then make everybody forget who I am. And he's like, Peter, everyone you love, and then it makes it seem like he's going to say they, but he's like, we are going to forget who you are. And it's just one of those things to where you followed this character for the last 5 years. And now as an audience, you know him, but it's just, it's extra sad when you realize the people in the world that you've grown to love around him aren't going to know who he is.
Yeah. I mean, you think through the Avengers and just like the hype of even being like, oh, there's a moment where Spider-Man's in the Avengers, you know, like you kind of put all that together and then, you know, him, Doctor Strange, being, you know, saying we, it's like he's probably one of the only guys that Peter could talk to about what happened.
Yep. Yeah.
Like, you know, during all of the Avengers, whole saga, that would be him that would know that. So it's pretty crazy.
And the closest thing to Tony Stark that he has is Happy, and Happy won't know. But the one, I guess, I don't know if this is kind of morbid, but I guess the one solace is the person you feel like you would be the most sad that would forget him is Aunt May, and she passed away.
She went to her grave knowing who he is.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But that leads to him having to start over, which I think is, in a way, kind of brilliant to where we can have new Spider-Man, like whether it's for Sony or for Marvel, we can have new Spider-Man stories with the suit that he created at the end of the movie. He created a more comic book accurate suit, and it was one of the coolest things to end the movie on.
Yep.
It was something to where, also to say, one of the reasons I love Tom Holland is he's possibly the biggest reason that Spider-Man did not leave the MCU.
Because
back in 2019, there were talks that Spider-Man was out, like Sony was upset with their cut of like MCU profits that they thought they were promised. So they're like, we're pulling Spider-Man then. We're going to have our share. We're going to have full share on Spider-Man and screw the stories
the
that you created with them, your continuity. Tom Holland put his foot down and, you know, in no uncertain terms, I guess. And he said, nope, because
You're not getting me a Spider-Man
then.
Yeah.
And he pretty much was the biggest reason that they came to a compromise, because he was hard-headed about it. He's like, no, you're not doing this. So Tom Holland is maybe the biggest reason for this movie. So that's
quite awesome. I did not know that.
That is why I think he is the best Spider-Man, among other things.
Sure.
But we, and MCU lovers and Spider-Man lovers, were able to get this special gift, as you have called it before. So, David, thank you so much for joining us.
Guys, I mean, I've had the Grinch. I've had the honor to be with the Grinch. And, of course, like Spider-Man, I can't really think of anything that would be, you know, that I would enjoy talking about more than those two.
What'd you say before the show? Is it the Grinch, Spider-Man, and...
I said Merlin.
Merlin.
Yeah. If you ever want to talk about King Arthur and Merlin,
Okay.
I will be in.
Yeah. A kid in King Arthur's court.
Let's not talk about that one.
Okay.
Exactly.
We won't then.
Actually, maybe we should.
We got to have the.
Merlin. This movie is probably the best movie I have seen in theaters for a very long time.
It might be the best movie I've ever seen
in
theaters.
It was also special. Honestly. This was the first movie we saw in theaters in 2 years.
Yeah,
like we didn't see movies during the pandemic because not many theaters were open. So we made it a point to make this the first movie we saw in theaters in 2 years. Man. And it just was so special, because also when we saw that first Spider-Man 20 years earlier, it was the first movie we had seen in years, in theaters. So like, it just, what a way to welcome the theater experience back.
SNL was talking about this when it came out, and there was this big press release and this skit for SNL. And they were like, all right, guys, we have to talk about COVID, okay? If we want to stop COVID, stop watching Spider-Man. That was basically the clip. That was the skit. It was just stop watching it. Some of you are on your 6th, 7th time. Just stop. All the press are like, wait, but we'd like to know what about like policy and what other things are you gonna do? They're like, just don't watch it anymore.
He keeps
talking about it. But literally, it was just such a good movie.
Oh yeah.
Regardless as to if you're a newcomer to the idea or if you've been watching it. And I had people asked me about, is this movie the best Spider-Man movie, over all these other ones? And the cool thing is, I don't think you actually have to answer that.
No.
Yeah. Because I think it takes all of them and puts them together in such a good way. So it's like, oh, you actually get to take your favorite moments with Tobey Maguire and you get to put all these together with the Amazing Spider-Man. Everything about it—the tragedy, the great acting that had gone into the evolution of how you see Toby swinging into go web go,
fly up and away.
I mean, but you see those things and you don't really lose any of it. You actually just gain a ton.
Exactly.
So what a gift. That's my last.
No Spider-Man was forgotten in the making of this movie.
Right. Nope.
And so even Electro talking about wishing that there was a black Spider-Man.
Yes, exactly.
Miles Morales, you're gonna have your turn.
He's like, there's gotta be a black Spider-Man out there. And we're like, oh,
just you wait.
Yeah.
Oh man, David, again, thank you for being on this episode.
Thank you guys.
Of course. Thank everybody for listening. Mm-hmm. Thank you, Spider-Man.
Yes.
Thank you so much.
60 years.
Yep.
Well spent.
Six years well spent. I'm glad I spent all that time.
Yes. We missed you, Stan Lee. We missed you, Steve Ditko.
We were missing a Stan Lee cameo. Yeah.
But thank you all for listening. So until the next time,
be good to yourselves, be good to each other, because why would you want to be rude when you could be rad? We'll see you next time.
This concludes our broadcast day.